Good evening. Welcome. Welcome to our second evening in a row at the beautiful Harold J. Miyasi Cultural and Performing Arts Center here at Cuesta College. We've gotten lots of good feedback. I gather that this is a better place than last year. So we're more than three-fourths of the way through our festival this year. Yeah. 3 days gone, a half a day only tomorrow. Great presentations, field trips still going out tomorrow. I hope you're going to stick around and enjoy those. And then by 12 o'clock, the Morro Bay Community Center will be closed, and we will all be going home. Oh. We'll be resting up and getting ready to prepare another wonderful festival for you next year. It's our silver anniversary, 25 years. We'll have to come up with some good surprises for you, and we hope we get to see you again next year, too. So just before I bring Chris Cameron up to introduce our speaker for this evening, just another reminder to you can hand in your lanyards. Keep your name tags, but hand in the lanyards. We have a box for them here. You can, if you're not going to an event tomorrow, you can hand them over here tonight. Tomorrow morning at the Morro Bay Community Center, and after 11:30, after the Mind Walk at the Inn at Morro Bay, there will be a place for you to hand them in there as well. Your evaluations are your itinerary. Each of you received an itinerary in your packet that reminded you of the decisions that you made at 8 o'clock on Saturday, November 2nd, 2.5 months ago. And so we give you those itineraries, and in the final column on the right, it says rank. You get to use the number system. 10 is good, number 1 is not so good. If you've always ever wished you could evaluate every teacher you've ever had in your life, this is the opportunity for you to scratch that itch. We ask you for your input on everything from every event, workshop, presentation, or field trip that you went on, to how was the Friday night reception, how was your lunch, how are your keynote speakers, and we use all that information. In a 7 to 10 days, you'll also get a SurveyMonkey survey from us in your email, requesting further opportunities for you to provide input and for us to learn more about you. And we gather all of that, read it all, and use it to guide next year's events. So we appreciate your input and your feedback on that. All right, so Chris, can't wait to see tonight's presentation. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next year.
I don't know if she mentioned it, but she is the board chair. So she's the one who put it all together. She's assisted by a board that works year-round, but she's the one who holds it all together. I asked Christine, I said, tell me something about Grebes that nobody else knows. And she said, okay. I have the mic. So she said, okay, their feet are way back. And when they're cold and they want to go to sleep, they take their foot and they shake off the water. And then they put their foot back over their back and tuck it under their wing. And I said, come on. And she said, yeah, that's true. And she said, it's called foot shipping, Grebe foot shipping. And I don't know if it was a language difference or something, but I thought Grebe foot shipping. Not sure about that. So I went home and Googled it. And, you know, shipping Grebe feet. And I got UPS things about how to ship Grebe feet. So I'm not sure if it's true or not, but, you know, she's the speaker, so I guess we're just going to leave it at that. So, Christina, As a wildlife nature photographer, she spent years studying photographing the grebes at Lake Hodges down in San Diego. She's called the Grebe Whisperer, maybe the Grebe Liar, I'm not sure, the Grebe Whisperer. And many of her clients and fellow photographers call her that. She's based in San Diego, and she provides guided tours, wildlife and nature photography workshops in Southern California and around the world, including Scotland and Ireland. Her enthusiasm and passion for wildlife photography rubs off on everyone she meets. Now let's go with a little background. So growing up in Hungary, as a young teener, Christina spent her summers hiking, camping, and learning about nature and wildlife and conservation. She was an avid outdoor enthusiast, and that helped fuel her appreciation for the natural world. And her main interest was in photography of wildlife so she can share it with others. She got a degree in animal science and agricultural engineering from a university, I can't say the city, in Hungary. And she continued her studies in Purdue. Purdue. And during graduate school, she worked as a teaching assistant in the biology department at Purdue. Moving to Southern California, she enjoys photographing wildlife, especially at Lake Hodges, her favorite spot in San Diego. Her first experience with cameras started 25 years ago with something called film. And she developed some of her own film in a photo lab. And then she moved to digital cameras with interchangeable lenses years ago, and she settled with Canon gear. She considers photography an adventure just like life. So she splits her time between San Diego and Scotland and offers small groups and tours in Ireland, Costa Rica, and other parts of the U.S. and the Highlands. Wouldn't that be great? And Isle of Skye, especially focusing on nature photography. Guiding and photographic tours and workshops are things that she makes available for all levels of photographic skill or experience. And she does a private individual and one-on-one sessions as well. Her awards and exhibits, she's been in Photographer of the Month in Wild Planet Photo magazine a couple different times. It's got awards in North American Nature Photography, San Diego Audubon Society Front Cover, National Audubon Awards. She's had first place in Palos Verdes South Bay Audubon Society exhibit. Awards and honorable mentions at this fair and this place and that place. She's been a speaker here and there and all over, and she's here right now, and let's just welcome Christina.
Oh my gosh. I'm laughing so hard, give me 2 minutes. That is way too funny. Peru and Hungary, yes. I mean Purdue. Oh, sound is great too. Thank you, Clark. Well, welcome. Earlier, I accidentally advanced the slide, so this is my welcome to tonight. I know I welcome you with open arms. Well, not really my arms. It's a white pelican coming in for landing. No, it's not a grebe. We'll get to the grebes in a moment. I'm still laughing. Thank you, Chris. A big thanks to the Morro Bay Winter Bird Festival. Did you guys have fun? Yeah. Holy cow. I love this place. I think it was 2-3 years ago I actually attended the Bird Festival, and I've been doing that a few times before because I realized the more you learn about birds, better you get at photography, right? And anticipating their behavior. So it was very important to me just to attend. And every time people ask me if I'm a birder, I'm like, oh, no, I'm a photographer. And the only reason I say that, because I know not as far close as much as you guys know about birds. So I am learning every day, and I love it. So tonight, actually, before I even go any further, I got to do my disclaimer. Those of you who kind of read the bio or listened to Chris, I am from Hungary. I wasn't born here. I moved here after college at 23, started learning English somewhere at 22. So English is not my first language. I do my best at it, but the reason I do the disclaimer, in case I say something weird and odd, I call it Hunglish. So hang in there. By the way, any Hungarians here? Szia, hogy vagy? Oh, okay, we're switching to Hungarian. I got one person. Akkor magyarul mondjuk, és akkor mindenki megérti, ugye? No, I'm not going to do that to you. But if I do see, I make words up, and it totally makes sense to me. And maybe to you, to my single Hungarian friend here, but it won't make sense to any of you guys. So tonight I'm planning to introduce you to the grebes a little bit. Have you guys seen a grebe before? Oh, good. Oh, we have like, woohoo. Have you seen them do their little dance on water rushing thing? Sweet. And do you guys know why they do it? Oh, because they can, right? And by the way, Chris, that is called foot shipping. Have you seen that do that, the grebes, because their feet are so in the back? They shake it out when they're cold, they roll it over their back, stick it under their wings, and you're like, what just happened? But I'll show you about that. But I'm not just going to show you about the grebes. I remember when we set up this keynote with Chris, Chris said, oh, you know, we want to hear about the grebes. We want to know everything you do with the grebes because I love the grebes so much. And then he said, oh, but, you know, we kind of like your other photos too, like the puffins maybe, and how about some gannets, and how about some other stuff? And I said, I'll make it work. So we call it Dancing with the Grebes and their friends and their distant cousins. Okay? So I'm going to show you a couple photos of things I like to do. I'm going to talk about the grebes tonight in pretty good detail. By the time you leave, you're going to fall in love with them, I'm sure. And then you can go out, if you're local, Santa Margarita Lake. They're doing their business there too. Doing the rushing, having chicks, but if you ever want to come visit me in San Diego, you can do that too. And I'm going to take you on this photo journey, so it's all visual. I don't have any videos or anything like that. We do have a few surprises, but it'll be mostly photos, so here we go. We're going to talk about the grebes. I know. Aren't they sweet? But before I take you to the grebes, I enjoy any wildlife photography, but probably my favorite is birds, and especially birds in flight, because while they are a challenge, and who doesn't like a good challenge? I also, when you turn into any photographers in the group? Yes, I know, I already hear laughing. If you're holding a long lens, I really highly recommend you get a good chiropractor to go with it. Because you're gonna need it. And usually my trainer says, okay, you create a perfect triangle, hold the long lens, you know, embrace yourself. Yeah, that lasts for 2 seconds, and I'm in all kinds of weird positions to get flying shots. The previous shot was a bald eagle. This is a white-tailed eagle. And if you've been to Scotland or anywhere that part of the world, we do not have these guys here. It is a so-called sea eagle or a white-tailed eagle. Who doesn't love a gray ghost, the Northern Harrier, which is surprised when you actually get it on camera. You're like, yay! There is a reason they call it the ghost. They rarely appear. And you might have seen this shot. I love funny stories behind my shot. This one involved me walking into a cactus. No, I tell my clients, do not do this. Don't hold your camera and keep walking because you fall off or you walk. Well, I got so excited when he took off, and I've never seen them do that. I remember taking the shot. I said, I got it, and I said, ow. And I looked down, and these little things just kind of hanging out of my leg. It's all good. I had the first aid kit. This is Costa Rica, Scarlett McCall. It's a technique I like to use called panning, where you move with the bird, and you create this motion. You get the eyes in focus, and the rest is just moves with it. It always helps if you're a bird, if you got something in your beak, you know, like it looks even better. And I'm sure you had a super fun night last night with the woodpeckers, right? This only takes like 2 hours to get that shot, and then an hour at the chiropractor. Right. Talk about behaviors. It's very fascinating to watch them go back and forth between their little pen tree, I call it, the tree where they stash the acorns, and the oak tree. So the moment you figure out what's going on watching the bird behavior, you can get pretty good at it, anticipating where the bird is going, and they're still crazy fast. He's an little American avocet, super close. It was an Irvine sanctuary. Sometimes it's a full-frame shot. I'm holding a telephoto. Well, he just came so close. I said, okay, I'll take your photo. Here's another hard one for you, a little tree swallows, right? And my little tip to you, if you're out there, before we get to the grebes, if you want to photograph these guys, find a windy day. That will slow them down. Exactly. Anybody knows what this is? Of course you guys know what this is. It's the hoopoe. It was over there in Hungary. I just photographed this in my this last summer. And this beauty is a red kite from Scotland. Aren't they cool? They're super cool birds. We don't have them. They have them over there. They're beautiful birds. And talk about action shots, right? You're like, what's happening? Well, I think the great blue heron ventured a little close to the nesting. That's actually a red-winged blackbird. And it was fun to watch him catch him, scratch his back a little, then catch him again, kind of like the surfing bird, you know. SoCal, we can do this. And I love peregrine falcons, but again, they are super duper fast. This is Mama bringing in dinner, if you see in her talons. This is down in La Jolla, and if you ever watch them do the food exchange, exactly, super fun. Because, you know, you could just deliver the food and then pick it up. No, we have to do it in the air. It's a lot more fun. So I love birds in action. These are red kites back in Scotland again, having a little food fight. And back to the action. Some of you guys might have seen this. A lot of people who stopped at the booth, they kind of turned it upside down. What's happening? The story behind this is that the mama peregrine falcon, once the chick hatch up in La Jolla, she's very protective of the nest. So she just sits up on the cliff, watches the pelicans go by the dozen. And here and there, when she's bored or maybe one pelican came too close, she just darts out right at them. And it flips them around. The pelicans kind of get a little surprised and they lose balance and usually they regain it, and she's fine. She goes back protecting the kids, and it's all good. Another white-tailed eagle. This one is in Scotland. For my photographer friends, no, I did not Photoshop the black background. I just lowered the shadows because it was a dark, kind of a murky water. So the bird is in his or her natural element. But we're here to talk about the grebes, right? So we're going to discuss a little bit about the rushing grebes today. And rushing is the behavior when they walk on water just to find a mate. Because as I say, as a single human being, you know, you find another single person. Like if I find a guy and I say, well, you know, he says, yo, Christina, would you like to go out for dinner, maybe a movie? I say, sure. Does these birds go look at each other and say, dinner, movie? Nah, 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 nah. Do you know how to walk on water? No? I don't think so. So when it comes to grebes, their standards are just a little bit higher than ours. And I became fascinated with these birds a very, very long time ago. I mean, how can you not when the little bird just walks on water? And just watched and studied them for a while, and I just enjoyed photographing them and helping others to capture that moment. If you've seen grebes rushing, it's a super fast behavior. Runs across the water, and poof, they're done. So, but as a photographer, if you don't know what's happening, so the grebe whisperer, for me, people call me, like, because I learned their sounds that they make before. And it's all about that, knowing the behavior before they even think about doing this business. But to get you a little in the mood of where I photographed, this is Lake Hodges at sunrise. And I love getting out early. Grebes like to rush early in the morning. And here's another sunrise shot. Usually for landscape photographer friends of mine, you sit up early, right, in the pitch dark. So there I am looking at the lake, waiting for the sun, and there are three coyotes behind me. So yeah, there's always somebody else in the some other animal hanging out somewhere in the back. Here's another sunrise shot at the lake where I like to photograph the grebes. I love the misty mornings on the lake. Now, Lake Hodges, do you guys know where it is? No, down in San Diego, if you look up Escondido, it's a freshwater reservoir for the city of San Diego. We have about 600 grebes now. I know, they're everywhere, and I couldn't fit all of them in here. This afternoon, they were having a little fishing party going on. They're all Clarks and Western, but I'm going to teach you about that a little bit in a tidbit. We have a lot of grebes. The lake has 27 miles of shoreline, so it's pretty big. So your best way out is either you have a lot of time and you go out every morning and wait and see which grebe comes closer to you, or sometimes they rush very close. They may even fall on your lap. Sometimes they're a little farther out. Or you rent a boat and then get in the boat. And you can do that between February and October. And to give you a little other scenery, while there's rushing going on, other grebes might be sleeping or going about their business. And I'm going to just share with you a little bit. We're going to talk about the grebes itself. This is another rushing scene of the western grebes. So, as I said, Lake Hodges, we have about 600 of them now. It used to be about 450. Two years in a row now, we had about 100, 160 pairs having chicks. So we got a lot more grebes now. They used to be migratory. Now they're resident. I think they figured out SoCal, pretty cool place to live. So we'll just hang out here. So they're always there. They are they're more western, less Clark grebes. We have about 75% of them are western, and the rest are Clarks. We do have a couple eared grebes and piebill grebes, but just very few, maybe 10 to 15. So if you do know the difference between the Clark and the western, then you'll be set for my quiz right after this. If you don't, the western grebe, when you look at the grebes itself, the little black top will go over, it's on your right, the western, right? And on your left is the Clark. Does that little black hoodie, I like to call it, goes under the eye for the western, over the eye for the Clark. Also, if you look at their bill color, I have a hard time sometimes telling people to identify from a photo because a lot of photographers like to saturate their image. So, but in real life, when you look at the color of the bill, the western is more of a dull yellow, and the Clark is more of a nice, beautiful orange. So, here is your quiz. What do you think this one is? Western, you sure?
Yeah.
Cool, good, yay. How about this one? Exactly, perfect. How about this little cutie? Western, yay. Yep, if you said western, you were correct. And oh yeah, I love it. Yes, so I heard Clarks and then he went into a, oh my god, I'm confused, and then you figured out what it is, right? It's one of each. Western in the front, Clarks in the back. So if your question would be, and as we talk about rushing, your question would be like, do they ever mingle? They do and they don't. For a long time, grebes were considered one species, then they separated them, Clarks and Western, and they mate in their own department. They don't mingle up, except at the end of dating season. You remember that slide when I said there's more Western and less Clark? Well, at one point, the Clark lady says, well, no more Clark boys left. Yeah. Fine, I'll go out with a Western boy, okay, if I have to. That's all that's left. So they do, they will have chicks, and they look a little different. They are the largest vertebrates to walk on water just to find a mate. And they take about, this is during mating season, which is for us in Southern California, is between November and March. You'll see them rush all year round, except that you have to spend more time to actually catch them in action. So you have to be super duper patient. And Nat Geo did a little study. It wasn't me who counted these steps, but people wonder how they do it. The fastest human takes about 5 to 6 steps a second. These birds do 14 to 20. I mean, if you slow down this run across the water business and down, it is crazy fast. Their feet are moving like there is no tomorrow to rush across. Now, I'm going to talk about all these in our grebe workshop for the festival. We touch base on the rushing only, but I'm going to run through all the behaviors. Rushing is, the grebe courtship is super elaborate. It's crazy what they go through just to find a mate. And it's all those steps, and rushing is number 3. You see that, right? It's like, we haven't even gotten anywhere to think about chicks and nesting or anything like that. So I'm going to show you a couple of these steps, actually pretty much all of them. And that way you get a feeling of all the work that goes through. Lake Hodges did not have chicks for 7 years. In 2016, we finally had a rainy year, and we had a lot of chicks. So I actually had to ask a professor, I'm like, how come grebes go through all the steps, all the way to the end? But why, if you're not going to nest? He goes, oh, they're going to do it every year, but they're going to decide based on the environment and make sure that there's a good nesting site and enough food if they're actually going to nest, and they will mate on the nest and then have chicks. I said, well, that was pretty interesting. This has nothing to do with the grebes, but are you guys still awake? Okay, back to the grebes. I just wanted to do that. So advertising, number first thing from the list, and I'm going to pull out my phone while I'm talking so I can play the sound from, do you guys use Merlin? Yeah. And to play the sounds, I think it's like super duper cool. So single grebes will go out in a colony, like you would be a nice colony of grebes here. And some of you are coupled up and some of you are singles or not. So they go out there and they just emit these calls and say, you know, hey, is anybody around? So I'm going to play the sound to what it sounds, and I'm going to... Imagine in the colony of a lake, just, I had a lot of clients who came out, we just sat out there and listened to the sound. I thought it was fascinating. So this is the bird advertising and saying, hey, you know, I'm single. So if you're the colony and we're in the colony, it's a I'm not sure what they're saying really, but maybe it goes something like that. Hey, I'm single, anybody out there? Hey, I like you, where are you? I'm single. I like your haircut. I like your haircut. Do you want to dance?
Sure.
Do you want to dance?
Where do you want
to
go?
Okay, we're not going to do that. I mean, if I would be a grebe, this is the moment where I'm going to go and start dancing. I do know him. He's my boyfriend slash co-leader slash I can't believe I talked him into that. I can't walk on water, seriously. Thank you for the lights also, that was fun. He's awesome, his name is Ranger Dave, and everybody calls him Ranger Dave because he is a ranger, a park ranger, and he helps me on all the Scotland tours. He's also Scottish. Anyway, back to advertising. So if I advertise, pretty cool, you know, and maybe some of you somebody else wanted to chime in, but we would meet up and we would follow this step. We kind of down to the water level. It could be two of us or three of us, maybe four of us. If more than two birds are performing the ratchet pointing, that means it's one female and the rest of them are males. There's a little competition going on. And from this position, what they do is they dip their heads in the water and splash water to the right, to the left. Has any of you seen this part? This is right before rushing. So a lot of times, this is a very loud behavior. This is the sound that I pick up and say to folks that 11 o'clock, they're going to rush. And you go, seriously, Christina, I don't see anything. The reason you don't see anything, because they're super low down to the water, right? So I say, just point your camera there, they're going to go. In about 5 to 7 seconds, once they're done, sometimes they're really facing off. You see how low they are. They jump into the rush, get out of the water, and sprint across the water for a few steps. It's some of the birds are overachievers, and they go for about 10 seconds, which is a lot of work. Imagine each second, 14 to 20 steps. Here's that photo that you guys saw earlier. I like to do these. The rushing will take place when you ask, when David said, which direction do you want to go? A lot of times I get this question like, so do you know which way the bird's going to go? And I say, no, actually not really, because only one bird knows where he and she going to go. And the idea is that the bird takes off and the other bird follows, catches up with him or her, and tries to keep up with him. In being in sync. It's not a race. It's not a competition where, like, I'm going faster than you. No, you're going to get there first. They're going to totally be in sync. And if you watch their foot position, I love backlit photos. But if you watch their foot positions, they become super, super in sync. This was also an afternoon photo. I'm just showing you a couple different rushes as I'm going through. Sometimes I love doing it in the sunrise when you're looking into the sun, like getting a backlit photo. Now, rushing, while it could be between a male and a female, actually, most people think that it's between a male and a female all the time. Actually, 55% it's male and a female, and the other 45% or so, it's between two males. Rushing, the sounds that the birds do before rushing, it attracts everybody around them, and they really want to take a part of it. It's a season when, you know, you got to find that mate, and they do mate for life. So if there is, by any chance, there's more than two birds rushing, right, it's usually one female and the rest are males. The males are slightly bigger than the female. However, for me to be able to tell them what happened, it's usually what's the behavior that follows the rush. So certain, if it was two males, that's one kind of a behavior is going to follow. If it's a male and a female, there will be a different behavior, and I'm going to touch base on that in a moment. But I love when three birds come in straight at you. Or maybe there's four, because, you know, as photographers, once we saw three, now we really want to see four. Right? We're like, okay, that wasn't enough, but maybe you want to see five. Why not? Can you guys see the interesting thing about this photo, though? No. The first two are Western, and the three following are Clarks. Now, when I was photographing this, and I remember the story, I'm photographing the first two. I had no idea the other three were there. So as I'm committed to photographing the first two birds, I can hear that there's somewhere nearby another rush about to take place, but I'm not taking my camera off these two. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at the camera, and I'm seeing these three birds entering my frame. And first I go, holy cow, okay, I'll just keep shooting. And that's how I got all five of them together. Well, you remember when I told you that I picked the direction, you should follow me? Things don't always go well. So I think in this situation, they're not going to go out. I think this is not going to work out. It's like things really went wrong. I think even the other two are like, seriously, what just happened? I set the goal right. Nope, I'm going to go, okay, let's not argue, and we're not going to. It happens. In this case, in the next couple frames, you just see all three birds going four ways, and they're like, okay, we're done. Let's start over, and nothing happened. So things don't always go well. Now, if you remember, I was telling you that if it's a two males rushing, the behavior that follows, which is this, the next step would be barge trilling. Have you guys ever seen this? They rise out of the water with a whole lot of sound, and they slowly just paddle on the water. It's like they just rush. They already walked on water. Now they're doing this. I'm like, how do you have energy for all this? I have no idea. But these are the male grebes after a rush showing off to the ladies nearby competing for their attention. Another two males. Now, if you were a male and a female, you would go into the weed dance. Weed dance is the only behavior that has no sound, so sometimes it just pop up right in front of you, and they're performing this. It's the only time besides mating that the two birds actually touch each other. Otherwise, any of the other, even rushing, they never, never touch each other. Here's another weed dance with Clark's creep. What it is they think it's offering nesting materials to each other. It's the indication of that they're ready to proceed to the next step. And bob preening also happens with two very comfortable birds that are comfortable with each other. And they're absolutely beautiful to watch them. And if you follow really carefully, they mirror each other's movement. And if you follow carefully, they create a sweet little heart. Feeding and nesting would be the next step. Before the female, okay, so at this point they paired up and the female says, well, before we think about chicks, let's make sure that you can provide. So the female will go around and beg the male and beg, she knows exactly how to fish. Oh, she knows what she's doing. But she's just going to beg for him to feed her, and he does. And then you arrive to the nesting. They build floating nests, so if you look out on the lake, you would see these nests that are weaved through the reeds or maybe some little sticks or trees that are hanging out. And they can float up and down as the lake levels rise. This is a female. They lay anywhere between one to four eggs. And this is your time when you say, "Oh," because you all know what's coming after, right? Exactly. I know. They're so cute. The moment the chicks, the eggs hatch, they jump on the parents' back. Both parents take care of the chicks, carrying them, feeding them. If there was one to four eggs and maybe two hatched and the other two are delayed by a day or so, the grebes will leave the nest. It's not safe for them to be on the nest with the chick because they're very exposed. And actually, fish can eat the eggs or the grebes itself. So they leave and they abandon the other eggs. But there's times where there's two of them. I know. They're so cute. Or maybe there's three. Or possibly there is four. This was the only time I have seen this ever since I've been photographing for the past 5 years. This is the one time I've seen four. The other parent was nearby. He was doing fishing. He was doing all the providing the fish. But these four chicks were just awfully cute. And they're older chicks. I'm surprised they still fit on there. Here you go, feeding feathers. Feather is actually the first thing the young chicks get as food, is to line the stomach and help with digestion. And they just pick the very, very, very fine feathers from them. He was feeding a little tiny fish. If the fish was too big, it's interesting to watch their parents. They drop it in the water until they kind of chop it all up in little pieces. Now, some of the parents are not very good, and they come back with a huge fish. And you're watching this because you're like, so for a couple minutes, he's trying to give it to the chick. The chick is like, seriously, Dad, it ain't going to go down. So finally, the parent is like, fine, I'll just eat it. I'll go get you a smaller one, okay? As I said, both parents carry it. Sometimes if they're older, they just kind of follow. Actually, both adults have a chick, and that's the third one following behind. So if you look very closely, she's here hiding down there. Here is, again, the two Clark's grebes. You can see these if you're local at Santa Margarita Lake or you come down to San Diego. Chick season is about April, May-ish, if we have them. As I said, not every year we have them. Hopefully this year we get some also. And then with all kids, they grow up. I'm not positive what happened here for the parents yelling at him, but I think he might have gotten in a itty-bitty little bit of a trouble.
So automatically, it's a male child, right?
Yes, I totally agree with that. Let's go that he was a male. So with grebes, I hope this little flavor gives you just a little into the world of grebes. I think they're fascinating birds of going through all this work to find a mate and actually to mate for life and have chicks and do the rushing and doing the walking on water business. And it's just a phenomenon that if you get to see it live and now you kind of know what you're going to look for, right? It's just wonderful to see, I think. But of course, I love them dearly. But with that said, I'm going to move on and say, this is the lake at sunset where I take a lot of my photos. And while they rush in the morning, it is super duper neat to see them rushing at night also. But I promised you that besides the grebes, I'm going to show you a little bit of other photos, right? You guys want to see some other things?
Yeah,
exactly. So I'm going to jump right across the pond and take you to Scotland. I know. It feels like you're almost there, right? This is Isle of Skye in Scotland. It's always green because it rains a lot, but that's why it's so green. So it kind of goes hand in hand. And of course, you know, we got some stone. I took stones. I took this photo on Isle of Lewis and Harris. And you've seen this one. It's on Isle of Skye. It's just to get you in the mood of what I'd like to photograph there. The sweet little puffins. You can go to a lot of places to photograph puffins, but I love it on I love them in Scotland. We go on the west coast of Scotland for the puffins. And you get the theme here. There's a fish theme, definitely connecting them to their cousins, the grebes, I think. At least the fish. And there is this photo. It's like, seriously? Dude, come on. I know. I took this photo 2 years ago, and I still laugh about this. Now, there is a story, and I got to tell you the story to this photo, because this is the 10-second Jane Wayne shot. Jane Wayne is like John Wayne, but I'm Jane Wayne. It's how fast you draw your gun. I mean, my camera. How fast do you get your camera out of your bag again? So we're on this island about, takes an hour and a half to get there. You got about 2 hours on the island. Nobody lives on the island. When the boat leaves, if you're not on the boat, well, you're not on the boat, you're staying on the island overnight with the puffins, and you might not want to do that. So we're ready, all packed up. Half the folks, and I know half people here who've been on that trip, so half the folks are already on the boat, and it's about 10 of us up on the cliffside, and it takes 10 minutes to get to the 50 minutes. Depends on how fast you're sliding down on the cliffside. Had my camera packed. There's a lot of puffins would fly in with the fish. By the way, all that fish is for the chick, called a puffling, because puffin wasn't cute enough, there is a puffling. And they have underground burrows where the moment they land, they quickly run in there because the gulls want to come down and steal the fish. Well, this guy just, I'm packed, I'm ready to go. There are about 10 of us on the top of the hill. And this guy lands in front of me. And instead of quickly running in, he just looks at us. And I look at the puffin, I'm like, that's like the perfect shot. Dang it. I have my camera packed. And I'm thinking, how fast? I'm like, fine. And I look over the 10 people, and the 10 folks are like looking at me like, are you going to take that shot? I'm like, you got to be kidding me. The boat's leaving. I'm like, fine, I'll do it. So I quickly drop my bag for my camera folks, drop the whole thing, unzip the whole thing, grab my camera out. Of course, it's off, so turn it on. Dial in my right settings, but I would like to have a low shot. So I drop like super low on my stomach, and I snap about 10 photos. I get the puffin straight by himself. I get the guy coming by looking at him like this, and off the puffin goes. And I'm thinking, oh, good. I quickly look at my shots, and I said, oh, good. I think I got it. And then I look up, and all 10 people over me like this. Did you get it? Did you get it? Did you get it? I'm like, I did. But one of you, start going down to the boat. We can tell them I'm on my way. Please, please don't leave me here. I was the last one on the boat. Some of the folks were a little bit like, oh, seriously, we got to go. I'm like, sorry. It's been published in Wild Planet Photo Magazine. This is the photo that won National Audubon Award last year and did a few other things, so it was worth it. It was absolutely worth it. I had to buy tea for everybody on the boat and cookies because that's all they had, but I did it. Watching their little cute little things. I mean, you can sit there and just watch the puffins for hours, hours. There are about 3,000 of them. If you don't know much about puffins, they live out sea and they come on land to raise the puffling. And they are called the parrots of the sea, and they're also called the... We usually say if you want to have some puffin therapy, then you go and photograph puffins, because no matter what problems you have in your life, watching these little guys just go about their business, you just start smiling. You're like, this is funny. It's great. It makes you feel. Do you guys know who this is? What is this? Northern Gannets. Yep. Scotland has one of the largest colonies, mainland colonies, up in Aberdeen. I love photographing them also. I love photographing bird behaviors. If you know the black-necked stilts, this is the moment, the dance right after mating. After they're mating, they're cross and they circle for about 2 seconds, and then they're on their separate ways. Northern flickers, these are actually two males chasing each other around the tree, a little blue grosbeak down at Lake Hodges. And it always helps if you have some food that they, you know, they can pose with. No, they're wild. They just brought it in for me. Maybe you want to be a nuttle. or possibly a roadrunner looking for a lady friend. You know, they do this food offering, right? Or maybe you just want to do that look back look. And this is a bald eagle. I love portraits also. And if you guys been to Bosque, the sandhill crane migration, it's nothing like having about 10, 20,000 birds take off and fly over you. And if you're birding and you're out there and you're a photographer, that's not the time when you want to look up and go, oh, wow. Don't want to do that. There's likely out of the 10,000 birds, somebody will leave something for you. So you just kind of go, okay, that was cool. And hide, because that's what happens. I still don't know when they lift off, how don't they don't run into each other, you know? It's just a mystery to me. Here's a little snow geese coming in for landing. In the beautiful, they're like, they're absolutely beautiful. Or maybe you want to do a silhouette shot. They look like old ancient birds coming in for landing. Yeah, this is Into the Sunset. I also love photographing juvenile birds, right? You guys know as birders that the young birds are, I don't think they figured out how bad humans can be, or that when humans are around, maybe there's no bunny or food around or other little birds they can catch. So they're very friendly to the humans. So these guys just fledged, looking across. Actually, they're quite close to us. And if you're down in La Jolla, obviously you have your peregrine falcons up here at the rock. But if you're down in La Jolla, when they fledge, it's so much fun. I was photographing one of them until I looked over to the other photographers. Just we were in a row. And all of a sudden, one of the young one comes over and kind of grabbed the photographer's hat. He just wanted to play. So I took a photo of the photographer is just shooting down. I don't even know where. And here comes the bird from the back and just kind of did a little scratch and just moved on. I'm like, wow. They were just playing. They were playing with each other and playing. Little hummingbirds feeding. Remember, a lot of these photos are telephoto. I'm not actually close to them. I do practice ethical bird photography. We don't want to disturb them. These are kestrels, not American kestrels. These are Scottish kestrels. I think she showed up with no food, and the chicks are like, seriously? What's up? Where is dinner? I like the one in the back yelling the most. He's like, it's not that there's no food. I'm way in the back. And the poor parent, he's just like, I don't want to hear it. Little red shoulder chicks. These I followed this nest for a while at Lake Hodges. They were super fun to watch, and they're when they're learning to fly. So bringing in food. Talk about, here's another fun story for you. We watched this osprey in Del Mar. Well, he's a great dad. He brings all kinds of goodies. So he's probably that dinner, that night, he was like, I'll bring you some redfish. Because, you know, let's color up that dinner plate. And we're thinking maybe it's a Garibaldi. But then I think we realize it's not. I think it's somebody's koi. Now, I don't know much about koi. But those who know about koi said that somebody's missing a couple hundred dollars from their pond. Because apparently it's a good-sized koi. So I think he fishes whatever he, I don't know, he likes to. This was very fascinating to watch again, the peregrine falcons, to encourage the mom, to encourage the little chick. She stopped taking the food back to the nest, and she just dropped it at the nearby rock. And boy, he was coming in hot. Hot and steaming. He's like, I don't know how I'm going to land here, but I'm coming for that food. She's like, yep, you got to make it all the way over here, kid. And of course, how can you not say, aw, when you're talking about great horned owl chicks? A lot of people ask me, I wanted to just share two things with you. A lot of people ask me, what do I do with all my photos? Well, besides selling them and publishing them and all that good stuff, I like to use my photos or give my photos to use for conservation and education. During nesting season especially, we work with the lake and the San Diego River Park, which is Lake Hodges is a part of it, to inform people that there is nesting site and please, as a boating lake, we have a lot of private boats, to please stay out there and out of there and respect the nesting season. and the grebes. But the other thing I love doing, and as maybe as birders, you guys are really going to enjoy this story, is education. So I think it was about 2 years ago when I got a note from a grandma, Alice. And she said in Sundance Elementary, which is in San Diego in Poway, and she said, well, she was on the board for the Palomar Audubon, and she had two granddaughters going to the school. And she said, well, we wanted to do this project to put up bird feeders to help our kids and educate the kids and, you know, get them out in nature. But then quickly scratched that idea because that would have invited other non-bird things like rats and things. And so they're like, well, maybe that's not a good idea at the school. We're not going to do that. So she sent me a note wondering if I have bird photos. I said, well, I have about 500,000 photos. And yeah, I think I can find a bird photo of two. And I'm like, well, what would it be this for? I thought she wants to buy it. And she says, oh, no. It would be they want to do these educational posters and put them all around the school and the fence. And when the kids are out, they can read about the birds and learn because the school backs into a canyon. And it was very natural. Hawks fly by, and it maybe encourages the kids, and they can learn about it. And I said, oh, I'm not going to sell it. I'm going to donate the photos. And then she said, oh, that would be great. Now, how would we go making these posters? And I said, well, okay, I'll do the posters too. You write a text, I'll do the posters. We ended up doing about 28 of these posters. And they're 12 by 18. They're all around the school, put up around the fences. The first one we printed and we laminated and we hammered those garments. And our fingers were hurting. The second round, one of the gentlemen at the school ended up donating, printing them at HP. So they were very fancy posters, 28, right? Well, you think it stopped here, the project. A year later, Grandma Alice says, well, the Palomar Audubon is willing to donate about 20 to 30 binoculars. So from there, we went to every week on Wednesday now, during, we call it recess birding, and I go down for a couple hours. We have three different recess for 20 minutes. We go out with the kids and bird and see what we find. And the moment we find something, I know, oh, thank you guys. So that's us. Dave is in there too. Dave sometimes comes down when he can get away from work, and the kids have to sign out the binoculars. They have to learn how to share also. But what was amazing to watch is that one of the younger kids, he's a very shy, quiet guy, but a year later he shows up with the bird book and telling all the other kids the bird he saw. He's just going through the book and he's just so proud running around. And even the principal is like, wow. It was so awesome. And to the day we do this, sometimes we have 20, 30 kids and they run around. Of course, I don't have any kids, but boy, whew, it's a lot of work, but we love it. So it's just a really fantastic project. So I know. I always like to say that if you're out there birding, you never know who's watching you, right? Something's always looking at you. It's as a burrowing owl down in San Diego. Or maybe it's a black-crowned night heron looking you. Or maybe it's the osprey wants to take a closer look. Possibly it's me looking at you, see where you are and what's happening. And this is the little peregrine falcon. I think, his second flight out of the nest. So he flew, he got to this rock, and he wanted to go back. But I don't think he figured out. He goes, okay, I got here, but I don't know what to do to go back there. So I always say that, you know, before you... So it applies to birding, I think, as well as photography. You might want to learn to walk before you fly. Just take it easy, right? This is like my little wrap-up session at the end. Sometimes you get that, you identify that bird perfectly, or maybe you get that perfect shot, and sometimes you don't. I laugh at this because people ask me, I show you all the cool shots, right? I show you all the nice shots, but then I have these too, don't worry. I chopped that bird off like there's no tomorrow. That's the full frame, that wasn't cropped. I would have loved to get that little green heron in flight, and then I looked at it and I said, well, yeah, I don't think that worked out. But we all have bad hair days. You know, when things are not going well, you just want to shake it off and say, yeah, that's okay. Just move on. There is a competition out there. This is mostly for my photography friends, but even for birding, there's always somebody after you. But it was meant to be your stick, and you meant to be there. You will be there. Right? If that's what you meant to do. This is shot one after the other with his butt. So I always say, just make a run for it. Go out there. Do your thing, right? Keep going. Maybe you need to have a chat with somebody. You know, it's kind of fun to bird or photograph together. Maybe you need to discuss it within each other. Like, okay, do you remember? You see that bird? Yep. Maybe get some lessons. But no matter what happens, just have fun. Upside down, I don't know. Whatever life takes you, just have a good time. Because there's always a sunset, followed by a sunrise. And while I say that this is my last slide in terms of I'm going to have to rush out of here, but I won't. I don't need to rush out here yet, and neither are you guys. But I would love to take some questions and answers and see if I can help you guys with any more input or any more knowledge about the grebes. Thank you, guys. Yes.
I've been holding this one. Christine, excellent presentation.
Oh, thank you.
Love the photography. Wondering what makes those floating nests stay afloat for the grebes?
You know, that's a great question, by the way. But most of the grebes will weave them between these reeds that are sticking out from the water, like at Lake Hodges in 2016, the rain flooded areas where there were reeds just straight up. And they weave them in a way that the nest goes up and down. However, not all grebes are that smart, unfortunately. If they put the nest within a tree trunk that was hanging out that's not straight up, then those, unfortunately, when the water came up, they got flooded.
So are the nests always anchored to something?
They're anchored to these reeds that they would be sticking vertically, like straight out.
Got it.
Yeah, so the reason they don't nest at Hodges is in 2016, with all the rains we had, it flooded an area that was like trees and plants, and it got water in there. So all of a sudden, it was a shallowish water, but there was a lot of vegetation just coming straight up out. So they weeded the nests within there. There's a sad story to Hodges, unfortunately. Sad and happy. It's the sad part first. In 2016, in January, when we're doing the go out, I think it was end of February, and there were about 60 nests that you could see, these floating nests. And we had a horrible, like a 24-hour rain. And I knew that, so while they float a little, if there's too much rain, they just can't manage it. So the next day I went out, I mean, I cried my heart out. The 60 nests that they were there, the next day it was nothing. It was all water, and there's a good side of this. There are all these little grebes going around, and they're kind of looking down. They're like, my eggs were here, where are they? There was nothing, all gone. So we're thinking, oh, this is sad, I cried, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. Oh, the grebe said, oh, no. Mother Nature, it's meant to be for us to have. Within 1 month, doubled the nests. Oh, they started over. So that year, it was March, April, they kept just having chicks. In October, I remember posting a photo in Bird in California, and they're like, oh, no, grebes don't nest in October. I'm like, they do over here. Come on down. So that was the good news about that year.
My question is, the grebes do the rushing. Mm-hmm. Do they rush every year, even if they've been mated for life?
Yes, they do, actually. Even if they mate for life, they kind of reassure each other that, okay, yeah, we can still do this dancing thing, walking on water business. Yes, they do. Yep.
I have a question here.
Okay.
About the puffins, the one mm-hmm. with all the sand lance in its mouth.
Yes.
How do they hold on to the ones they've already caught as they catch more?
Great. Know? No, that's a good one. So first of all, they're amazing divers and fish. Have you ever watched you can't really see them underwater, but if you watch a video or as they go and dive down to fish, they're very good swimmers. And their bill, the bottom, it's kind of like a little, I call it their shish kebab up the fish. They're like little razor sharp, kind of like teeth on the bottom of the bill. So as they catch a fish, they just kind of stick it in. And they kind of just keep going until they catch it up. Now, my photo, I know a lot of you, when you came by the booth, and they're like, oh, that's a lot of fish. Actually, there are photos out there. I would say my puffin is an underachiever. There are photos out there with even double the size of the fish, double the amount of fish. They do it, and there's the one with one fish. So, I don't know. Go figure.
So, could yes. you explain about? Could you?
Oh, there you are.
Could you explain about the feet up underneath them and what are they lying on, sitting on, doing when
the
they're
grebes?
Sleeping that way? The grebes.
The grebes. So Chris's whole thing. By the way, I love that thing. What you did. I wanted to see if he actually flips it and puts it under his wing, but no, he did not. Have you guys seen grebes? And some of the rushing shots really show the feet. If you've seen a grebe before, their feet is totally set in the back of their body. That's how they can raise out and walk on water. However, this also means that they cannot walk on land. If you ever see a grebe on land, it would be literally this, and they're falling over because they can't walk properly. If you ever see a grebe on shore, not in the water, there's likely something wrong with that bird, sick or something happened to him. So what they do with the foot, just to keep it dry and keep it warm, they shake it out, shake off the water, and how do they do it? I have no idea. Just kind of watch it. They just flip the whole foot back up onto their back and stick it under their wing to keep it warm, and then later on they just stretch it out. I have some photos where you see the grebe with the wings, and then there's a little yellow something hanging out. They're like, oh, what's that? I'm like, that's its foot. That's the end of his foot. Yes.
I have a question about your equipment. What mm-hmm. kind of lenses and cameras do you prefer?
I prefer Canon, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't. I actually have it with me. Here, we'll do a little since you asked me about it. I'm not going to pass it around because then if you drop it, you have to buy it. This is just one of my little to-go lens. It's a Canon 1DX Mark II with 100-400 telephoto, right? I always say the best camera is the one in your hand. I'm not picky about if it's a Canon or a Nikon or a Sony or anything, as long as you have a camera, right? This is a full-frame camera. I do like the 7D Mark II, to those of you who know Canon, which is a crop sensor. And I have a hard time using a tripod because I don't find there's a lot of these birds move so fast that the tripod, I don't care how fancy that gimbal or the Wimberly head is, it's just not working. So this is why my chiropractor still makes money off of me.
Do any of the other grebes you mentioned have anything close to the display that the Western and Clark's grebe has?
You know, actually, I think there are other birds who do this walking on water business, but not like this. There is there's another grebe that does a little dance, but not the way the Western or the Clarks do it.
So if a Clarks and a Western mate,
yes.
Is there a dominant DNA pattern? Or
oh, boy. I'm not sure about the DNA pattern, and I know I have a genetics background also. I'm not sure about the DNA pattern. However, the chicks do look a little, I don't know how to say this, weird. There's something a little off with the black top, and you can see around the eye that you kind of like, is it under? Is it over? Is it in the middle? Is it what? Sometimes they have little spots, like in their black top. Or I even seen almost albino, like a whole white, totally white chick. Yeah, that was very interesting. And I don't know if it's actually going to survive or not, or is it just going to be, like, when it comes to rushing, they kind of get like, you look a little weird.
Okay.
It's a no better
take,
word.
We're going to take three more questions.
All right.
Think about your questions. After those questions, she will be in the back, and if you want to buy some
or
postcards or some photos or just a chat, she'll be in the back. But right now, we're going to take three questions. One's up here in the back.
Or maybe work on your foot work. Or maybe dance work.
How do they do both feet at the same time in drying them out? And how do they stand if they do that?
No, they don't stand. They do this on the water. This
both
whole
feet
foot
at the same
chipping.
Time?
I'm sorry?
Do they do both feet at the same time?
No, they don't. They do one at a time because with the other one, they're still kind of pedaling around and keeping
right.
an eye on you. And then they do the other one. They put that one out and they dry up the other one. Yeah.
Okay.
Great question. I know this foot thing is really, really cool, isn't it? I should have done a video on that. Now you're going to start looking for it. Watch it. I call it lake yoga.
One of your slides had a season of, I think, November through March, something like that.
Yes.
But you mentioned here that the time for the chicks was spring.
Yes.
I was once doing a survey in late December,
mm-hmm.
and there were two chicks floating on a back. So are those remnants from the prior season, or are they just... the beginning of the early birds.
You know what? You have a really, really good point. 2 years in a row now. So Lake Hodges is, talk about not just grebes, but Lake Hodges is also a migratory. So is a lot of the Southern California or Central California spots, right, where a lot of migratory birds come in. We get a lot of white pelicans coming in, a lot of different ducks coming in. But it's very interesting in the past 3 years, and I asked other people about it, and they all agree, is we're seeing things happening earlier. Like our white pelicans used to arrive in November, now they show up end of August or September. You're kind of like, what's happening? And I don't want to give all my secrets away, but I have seen two chicks already this year. It's January, mid-January. I've never seen it before, so I'm glad you mentioned it because this is the first year I have seen one pair with two chicks on their back.
Last question.
Something in the weather? Something in the global... climate?
Last question.
Who knows?
Can you tell us some more about your tours so we can go see the puffins and the other birds that you photographed?
Oh, well, I'm happy to tell you guys it's Scotland and Ireland, and it's usually in July, so you can see the puffins bringing all that fish. But it's a photography tour, but if you're not a photographer, that's fine too. But at the end of the 11 days, you will be a photographer. I'll put a camera in your hand. You know, one of the things I like to do, actually, I call it birding with the camera, because a lot of birders, maybe you're kind of beginner and you're like, it's a big telephoto, what do I do with it? So I like to ease you into it, meaning like, hey, we can bird, and if we see a bird and we can take photos, we'll take photos. If they let us, you know, to be, so you don't have to feel intimidated. But if you guys do want to get some information about the tours, we'll be out there, and you're welcome to chat me up or Dave. But also, I'm happy to chat about that foot business. Oh, and Chris will be demoing the other foot. Right?
Did you enjoy the evening tonight?
Thank you.
Thank you all for your participation. And remember, tomorrow there's a mind walk on oyster catchers, and there's still a couple more trips. Thanks for coming this year. We'll see you again.
Thank you so much.